Hello, this is Joe Tomlin for the Fringe Review. I'm at the San Francisco Fringe talking with Neil Arthur James, who you may have heard of or met before because his other performing name is...
Hi, everyone. It's Dandy Darkly. How's it going, Joe?
It's going fine here. So today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to talk about Fringe festivals in the USA. And a little bit of history about Fringe festivals, their purpose, and also some of the ones that are in Europe that you've performed.
And also just like a lot of the means in which a performer, perhaps listening at home or whatnot, can, you know, help apply themselves to attend some of these Fringe festivals. And if you have interest in just how it is, you know.
So could you tell us a little about the history and background of Fringe festivals, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So way back in 1947, a group of theater companies arrived at the Edinburgh International Festival to put on their shows, and lo and behold, they had no venues. Something happened, and they were without space. So these companies decided to just put on their shows anyway. I think it was seven of them did the shows in neighboring venues, neighboring to the International Festival, which also still goes on today during the month of August in Edinburgh, Scotland. I think one of them went out of town to do his. I'm not sure about that. But these original eight companies became the behemoth that we all know today as the Edinburgh Festival Fringe.
And what about the purpose? Can you talk a bit more about the purpose of these festivals, Fringe festivals?
Yeah, absolutely. So Fringe festivals are an opportunity for outside performers to put on a show, put on something that they've always wanted to do. The Edinburgh Festival itself is the largest in the world. It's, I think in 2017, there were over 50,000 performances, 3,400 shows across 300 venues across the entire city of Edinburgh. You know, theater, dance, comedy, opera, cabaret, spoken word, children's shows. I mean, the entire breadth of performance is on display during the month of August in Edinburgh. And for many people, it is the pinnacle of where they're going to go with their work. But it's also an opportunity to just be the starting point, because there are fringe festivals across the entire world.
Now, you have been performing at the Edinburgh Fringe for 5 years, and now you're at the San Francisco Fringe. I know this is at least your second year. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us briefly about your latest show?
Yeah, absolutely. I won't talk too much about it, but it's Dandy Darkly's All Aboard. It is my fifth solo show that I've produced in this vein as a spoken word artist, Dandy Darkly. And last year in particular, my show Dandy Darkly's Myth Mouth was fortunate enough to participate in several U.S. fringe festivals. Tampa International Festival, Orlando, Portland Fringe, Chicago Fringe, and the San Francisco Fringe Festival. I think we ended up doing something like 8 or 9 festivals across the U.S., not including festivals in the U.K. as well.
Now, we've just come back from the Edinburgh Fringe couple weeks ago, and now we're at the San Francisco Fringe. And in both places, I have talked to a lot of performers, and what happens is they get the Fringe bug, and they want to go further. So there were plenty of people in Edinburgh who wanted to know about the American festivals, and now the San Francisco Fringe performers, they want to know about American ones, and maybe eventually the big one to bite the bullet and go to Edinburgh. So could you talk a bit about the American, the CAFF, the Canadian Association of Fringe Festivals, and how they differ and the processes, because you have great experience with... maybe 8 of them, you said.
Yeah. Yeah, so absolutely. The Canadian Association of Fringe Festivals, or the CAF, is the major governing body of most of the fringe festivals here in North America. like from Portland to Orlando to San Diego to there's so many festivals to choose from. The season tends to start in February. I think the Frigid Festival in New York, my little hometown fringe festival, kicks it off. It's hosted at the Crane Theater and under St. Mark's, which is Dandy Darkley's little stomping ground there in New York, down in the East Village. And it's our little local, and I love that festival so much. Your best bet to start is to search for the Canadian Association of Fringe Festivals, or the CAF. They haven't posted the dates yet, but they have this incredible thing called the Touring Lottery. And it's an opportunity for an aspiring fringe performer to enter into a lottery and then be able to choose five fringe festivals from the very get-go. And there are some really incredible festivals. There's the Edmonton Fringe, which is the largest in North America. It happens in August. There's also Orlando, which I highly recommend for anyone. It's so well organized. It's May into June, typically around that time of year. San Francisco is one of my favorites, of course, being here in this lovely city. A lot of the CAF festivals are lottery-driven. This is an opportunity for new time performers, if they've just always had a dream of putting on a show, to do it. You tend to pay your registration fee, and then literally names are drawn out of the hat. There's typically different groups that are drawn, whether it's local performers, national performers, international performers. So, you know, there's different different drawings for each of them, but it's really a fantastic opportunity for first-time performers to just get their feet wet diving into the fringe world.
Now, I'll give a little shout out to a newer one. It's very it's a small one, but it's called the Nugget Fest Fringe in Grass Valley, and that one I know is in January.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah, and also outside of the CAF model, there's also several other festivals. I know the Cincinnati Fringe is a very popular one. It's a curated festival. The original model of that is like sort of an unjuried experience, open to everyone who wanted to. If you have a space, you can put on a show. So as the fringe model has become a little bit more mainstream, you know, different rules have applied to each of them, but you can find so many different festivals tailored to pretty much exactly what you're looking for as a performer and an audience member.
Okay, one of the things that's always important for fringe performers is the venue they perform at.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for people when they have a choice? They have a choice of several theaters or church spaces or basement spaces available.
Yeah.
Should they take bigger or smaller, or what do you think? Because there's a lot of ramifications here with costs, etc.
Oh my gosh. Oh, goodness. This could take... this is quite a question. So, venues are the most... next to where you're going to sleep every night, you know, finding a venue to house your act is one of the most daunting tasks as a performer going into these festivals, because things vary so much from space to space. I always tell people, if they're going to Edinburgh, see as many shows as you can, not just to be inspired by the work you're seeing and the performances that other artists are putting on, but just to see how they are performing in the space that fate has landed them in, you know? A lot of times cost varies depending on the technical support that you can have in a space. For instance, here at the San Francisco Fringe, it's incredible. I have such wonderful technical support because it's actually hosted by the Exit Theater, which is a fantastic performance venue here in San Francisco. But, you know, some other fringes, it can be a lot less technical with the, you know, lighting and sound and everything. So you kind of just have to go with the flow. You have to be very ready to kind of set your expectations aside and just, you know, put on a show, gang, whether it's a barn or an opera house.
As you travel around North America going to fringe festivals, because you've done that quite a bit, do you meet up with other performers that were at a previous festival? And if so, how's that camaraderie?
Oh, my God, it's wonderful. I mean, there's nothing like the fringe family. You know, these are fellow compatriots in the trenches, you know. All of us trying to get our art noticed and put our passions on display. And some of the friendships I've made over my, I guess, 6 years now doing this has really been special and wonderful. I look forward to seeing so many people when I return to a lot of these festivals. I root for them. I cheer for them, you know, And I just marvel at so much of the work that I see on display. There's you really make some wonderful, wonderful, lasting friendships doing this.
Now, because a lot of times in these fringe festivals, you have performers who are performing for the first time. It's their first show. What sort of material should they get together to promote their show?
You know, show promotion can be tricky, but honestly, I would just recommend, particularly if you're headed to Edinburgh for the first time, you know, it's more about bringing your best work possible. You know, you really want to put your best foot forward and really, really dazzle an audience, dazzle the critics that are going to come, and most important, have a good time doing it.
So now we are moving over to Edinburgh, the big one.
The big one.
So how do you navigate that? Because this is a different animal than, you know, like you're at Exit Theatre now. It's one wonderful building with three fabulous theatres in it. But now we're moving to Edinburgh where there's a whole city and hundreds of venues. How would someone go about making the first choices?
Well, your first stop is going to be edfringe.com. There's a wealth of information on that website if you're interested in tackling the world's biggest arts festival. They have an in-house staff. They're the Fringe Society, who are there to help you with information, with packets, cost breakdowns that other artists have done and submitted, all sorts of information to get you started. It can be a bit daunting because under the Edinburgh Fringe, there's also so many festivals themselves. There's the Free Fringe Festivals, which I've participated in several years. It's an excellent low-cost means to try to tackle the fringe without spending too much money. I highly recommend it, particularly if you're a by the bootstraps kind of performer like myself who does everything. Look into the Free Fringe. There's some really great options there. There's also a lot bigger venue companies. I just did my show with Underbelly, and I highly recommend participation with them. Go to edfringe.com because there's so much info there. Or just send me a message at Dandy Darkly to any of the social media things, and I'm more than happy to answer some questions. You know, this world is all about collaboration in the fringe, like I said, and a lot of the friendships and whatnot you make are really wonderful, and this is part of that, you know, part of that world as well, you know, giving back, and I love it so much.
Is it better to find a venue that has similar types of shows, genres that you have, or is it better to think about being a contrast there?
You know, a lot of times the producers who are doing the venues will arrange arrange a breakdown of shows that that complement one another nicely. A lot of times, though, the venues, the sort of venue that you might be assigned to, really sort of give the feel. Like if you're a cabaret artist, like I've been, like I am, a lot of times you might be in a sort of a sassier little box, you know, with nice lighting and a nice little, you know, access to the audience or whatnot. Whereas, of course, big theatrical productions will go in much bigger venues. But again, one thing I recommend is giving yourself over to the beast, and just wherever they put you, that's where you land. Your feet are on the ground, and you have to make the best of it that you can.
One of the last questions, really. If you wanted to apply to the Ed Fringe and you found your venue, what sort of timeline should you follow? Because how many months ahead should you start planning?
I tend to produce a solo show on an 8-month time frame. You know, I was back on my little few days between these two festivals, and I looked over my calendar that I had on the wall, and I had my going back as far as January to August was when I first had my couple deadlines for writing the new show, getting it all done. Of course, because there are a lot of there's a lot of deadlines that are hidden in there in terms of you have to have your photos ready. You have to have your promotional materials that we talked about, you know, looking at a nice photo, nice little blurbs, break those down into 40-word blurbs, 100-word blurbs, you know, things of that nature. So definitely, you know, expect to have at least a 6-month. But, of course, I take this all very seriously. But I would say at least 6 months to get everything running in motion is a minimum.
You mentioned earlier that accommodation is one of the first things, mm-hmm. where you're going to sleep. And from my experience, when I go to Edinburgh as a reviewer, not a performer, I have to book around February for August.
Yeah.
What about you?
Oh, yeah, roughly the same. Particularly for Edinburgh, finding a place to stay is so critical. I mean, I stayed in the same flat for 3 years just because it was easy to grab a hold of, and then it was, you know, it was I had it under my belt. But, yeah, make sure you have that show ready.
And then, of course, coming back to the American or the CAF festivals, that timeline, is it shorter or is it the same?
The timeline is shorter. I mean, right now, I want to give a shout out to some festivals that are currently booking for their upcoming ones. The Frigid Festival is taking applications. The Orlando Fringe, the lovely Tampa Fringe, which is a brand new one. Cincinnati Fringe, I think I mentioned. There's so many others. Again, go to CAF. I believe it is CAF.org. Don't quote me on that, but look up the Canadian Association of Fringe Festivals, and they'll have all the information there for you.
Yeah, because in addition, I can think of there's the Pittsburgh Festival and the Hollywood.
No, the Hollywood Fringe is fantastic.
All right, so is there anything else you would like to add to this conversation?
You know, I'm thrilled to be part of this world. It really has changed my life, going to Fringe Festivals, and I highly encourage get involved.
Thank you very much for talking with us and sharing your expertise.
Thank you so much. Bye, Joe. Bye, Fringe Review.